Let's get it on.
Let's get it on. Wonder if the next time Brock Lesnar hears that, he'll be WWE champion. Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Sempervivi. This is Wrestling Observer Live. Post-WrestleMania Monday. That was a very polarizing show. These things often are. Want to hear what you have to say? Social media is any indication. You've had a lot to say, so give me a call. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. On Twitter, we're always here as well. At Sempervivi, at Brian Alvarez, at Sports Byline USA, and, of course, at WON, F4W, Wrestling Observer, /F4WOnline.com. Your home for everything you need to know in professional wrestling and mixed martial arts. There's only two more days left. Tonight, Monday Night Raw. Tomorrow night, SmackDown. Both are big. Raw, obviously, bigger. You can never know what can happen at the Raw after WrestleMania. So much so, it became a thing where it became the Raw after WrestleMania. Promoted as such. And we know the crowd's going to be lit because the crowd's always lit. But is Brock Lesnar going to leave with the Universal title? Will any surprises show up and make their presence known? Either from NXT or coming back from injury or just back from somewhere else? Is Nicholas allowed to stay up to the third hour on school nights? Going to give you my thoughts on WrestleMania as well, because, you know, that's kind of what we do here. And later on, Jason Agnew, formerly of The Law, is going to give us his thoughts as well and let us know about his new show, Sunday Night's Main Event, which debuted last night after Mania on TSN 1150 in Hamilton. It's going to be available worldwide via podcast. We differ a little bit on the show, which I don't think is any surprise. I'll give you my thoughts on it and hear yours as well. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Get started when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live.
You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Why? Who cares? It's WrestleMania.
Oh, what the heck? Let's get married. Who cares? WrestleMania. We care, Brian. We care. I think everybody cared. Everybody was emotional enough last night after it went off the air. Still continuing on into today, Monday. This is Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi here with you. The boss man's still down in New Orleans. He'll be back tomorrow. If you're a subscriber over at WrestlingObserver.com, he's going to be back tonight. The same way he has been there every night doing shows with Dave. Obviously, it's going to be a notable one tonight after Raw. As I mentioned at the beginning, we don't know what's going to happen. Brock Lesnar came out of WrestleMania last night, Universal Champion. Nobody really expected that, did they? But will he hold on to it tonight? It's still looking like he's going to end up in the UFC. Is that going to be the end game here? Brock, who hasn't lost since, what did they say, Survivor Series 2016? He's going to be fighting as WWE Heavyweight Champion, as if he was Dan Severn, the NWA Champion, fighting in the UFC? Possibly, maybe. Is it a short-term thing? I mean, he's still got time. Didn't have to jump into USADA testing and all that stuff right away. Still got time on this deal. Could ride this out for a little bit. Does he drop it tonight? Boy, I'd like to see a scenario where Samoa Joe comes back and Roman Reigns turns heel and they team up and Samoa Joe's the one that takes the title off Brock. A Samoan SWAT team. It's like back in the day. Samu and Fatu and the Samoan Savage. It's awesome. Those days of doom. Like those dark days of WCW that Dave will tell you were terrible and didn't make any money and all that. And he's right and all that, but like, you know. The SST was awesome. They were. Doom was awesome. I thought Dr. Death was there. Terry Gordy and all that. We'll have to see. You know something's going to happen. I'm going to get what your thoughts are on the show. What you thought of last night, 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Before I go to the calls, I love the show. If you follow my Twitter, you know that. Thought it was great. It was a tale of two shows, I mean, for sure. You know, the first half was much better. And I'm not going to defend every little last thing on it because I was not in love with every little last detail of everything. As much as I thought Charlotte and Asuka was a classic match, I don't think Asuka was worn down enough to lose and be tapped in the way that she did. But as far as the bottom line of her losing, cool. I would have been fine either way with it. Charlotte's their person, though. And it's WrestleMania, and Charlotte is their John Cena. She is Charlotte. She is the queen. And if Asuka's reign was going to end, her undefeated streak was going to end, why not during an epic? Otherwise, that thing is going to be an albatross around her neck. Yes, in a perfect, positively perfect world, they would build to her and Ronda Rousey next year at WrestleMania without a blemish on her record, and there would be great booking all the way through, and they'll bring up this girl from NXT to do this job on this day, and great. You know that's not what's going to happen, and you know sooner or later they're going to just have to have her lose to Brooke or some nonsense like that. So if it's going to go out, why not go out on a high note? The opening match for the Intercontinental title, again, could have taken it or leaving it. I would have been fine. You want to leave the belt on to Miz, have him break the record, have him be just more incorrigible with his kid, with his new wife. After the match, after he lost, all he wanted to do was go back to his hot wife and his new baby, baby-facing himself on Twitter. You could have left the belt on him. But if you would have put it on Finn, great. You would put it on Seth. It's not like people didn't like that. People love Seth. Great. Working man's champion, or the workhorse, I should say, as it's a little more plotting on top, at least as of right now. U.S. title match, it was what it was, and here's where I think they made a mistake with John Cena at the beginning, having him run out on Charlotte and Asuka, and that's the part, too, afterwards, if you want to be upset about something, the constant need to have, like, the thank you at the end or whatever it is with, like, Asuka. Of like, you know, Charlotte, you were ready for Asuka. Who cares? And I know that was probably just to set up John Cena running through, which I thought was great. But I honestly thought that would have been much better considering Jinder Mahal won the U.S. title, which probably was their plan at the beginning. But frankly, Rusev to them doesn't need that belt. You're selling calendars anyway. Jinder makes a nice story. Not giving up on Jinder. See, we're still serious about this a year later. Look where you can end up in a year. But I would have had John Cena run out right then and there. That's when I would have did that with John Cena. Especially because then that led to Triple H and Ronda and Stephanie and Kurt Angle. And I don't have to add any accolades onto that. As great as it's ever been. And I know Ronda's going to be a regular. But I'm looking at this through the prism of like Big Show and Mayweather. And Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam and people like that. This was as great as ever. That was a WrestleMania 5-star spectacular spectacle. A classic in classic form, Fez, Dory Funk, Briscoe, Flair, no. A WrestleMania classic, you bet. You bet. Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax went on way too long. Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Look, the end, I don't know if it justified the means, because I didn't like that at all, but look, Daniel Bryan came out, did what he had to do, cool. I just didn't like how they went about it. You could have had Daniel Bryan be on the outside trying to make the desperate tag from Shane, who was getting double-teamed all match. You didn't have to have Bryan get laid out. Cena and The Undertaker, I don't know what anybody wanted, and I still don't know what Bryan was thinking, saying to me that this was going to be 18 minutes long or thought it could actually go that long. 2 minutes, I'm fine with it. It was all BS. But you know, it was BS that the average fan probably liked. The SmackDown tag title did exactly what it needed to do. It was a filler, and it was a good filler that got the Bludgeon Brothers over. And the New Day got a great entrance, and the Usos looked good. So there you go. Styles Nakamura, IC title match, or the WWE title match. This is not Nakamura in New Japan, and that was brutally obvious last night. But at least the character is going to be refreshed after he turned on Styles, and that got a huge reaction last night. So then from there, I guess the only thing to me that really stuck out that you could complain about, I guess, Braun Strowman and Nicholas, look, this is, at 7 hours, this is masturbatory for WWE. As much as it is, it's everything to everyone, it's certainly for them. And I'm fine with this because you can have the Louisiana State Athletic Commission come out and you can have them say, Nicholas obviously can't defend this title. The titles are going back to Sheamus and Cesaro. Braun, you're not the champion. Get him out of the tag team title situation and be done with it. This was a thing to get him into something on the show. It wasn't the best idea in the world. It's a craptastic, goofball little thing, but you know what? That's what WWE does. And you know what? For as much as people complained about it, I don't know how many people were in that audience last night that popped when he was going for the tag. So take it for what it is. It's WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, they threw the surprise out there. I don't know what you do other than turn Roman Reigns, which they're probably not going to do. So all in all, though, for as much of it was a tale of two shows, I thought the first half carried it so much that this was one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. Maybe I'm prone to hyperbole coming off the high of all the shows this weekend. And my wrestling fandom's like completely, you know, up. It's possible at its best, but still. I want to hear what you have to say as well. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Also coming up later on the show, Jason Agnew giving his thoughts on WrestleMania, as well as talking about his new show, Sunday Night's Main Event. Come check us out. We'll be back.
You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Yep. His name's Wale. You may have seen him hanging out with Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez. He's going to wrestle next year at Wale Mania. Might have to get in on that one. Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi here with you. Post-WrestleMania Monday, shaking off the hangover. I wonder how many of you went out to the Kaiju Big Battle show last night. The WWN hangover show after WrestleMania. There's a House of Hardcore thing going on, too. I don't know. Bunch of random stuff. It never stops. It's not going to stop, actually, until Tuesday. Which, by that point, I think that's enough. Want to hear what you have to say? 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Got a full bank of calls right now. Lewis in Manhattan. Lewis, how are you?
Good, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
I got a little bit of a loaded question. I'm going to try to keep it short, but I think I, just like you, personally loved WrestleMania. I was thoroughly sports entertained for 7 hours. But I think the problem is just that I watched it with a bunch of my fight friends, these guys just like MMA. I'm the only pro wrestling fan. And I figure, why not show them WrestleMania, the biggest show you can see. It seems like they're going to pull out all the stops. And following a very strange, maybe not underwhelming UFC the day before, it seemed like a good time. But I think anything for 7 hours is unwatchable. That's maybe not necessarily true, only because WWE has conditioned their fans that, you know, pay-per-views generally even shorter than Raw, like they're 3-4 hour tops if you count dark matches. You know, UFC, on the other hand, they condition their fans that the prelims start at 5. No one shows up till like 9 or 8 or 9, even sometimes. I've been to many UFC cards. Most people know not to show up until like the prelims. I think with WWE conditioning their fans that once a year we're having an event that's 7 hours long, and we might put the world title match on first, so you definitely got to come and watch the beginning. Like, it's definitely, you're asking to be, like, stretching out the show. So, that, with that said, that's the loaded part of the question. I've seen some possible remedies to this. Do you think a two-day WrestleMania is possible? Is that just catering to hardcore fans? Or is it just that we need to have a smaller card? Let's just have it be a four-hour pay-per-view, and maybe you can just make it, you know, I mean, quantity over quality. But I feel like that was the heart of the issue. Like, my friends didn't really like it because it was 7 hours of long wrestling matches, which just can be draining, you know?
Lewis, I want to thank you very much for the call. You're right. And it's a different situation with, like, Joey Janela's spring break went on, like, forever and a day, but that's, like, the festival show. That's, like, the show, that's, like, I'm old. I'm 42. So like the HF Festival and like Lollapalooza and the Smoke and Grooves Festival and all those, like, those were the festivals that got big when I was, like, during festival time. And you could treat, like, the Janela shows like that. I'm sure it's the same way now with whatever's taking place these days, but, like, Coachella or whatever. But, like you can just, like, linger in and out of those shows and kind of come and go as you please, and you don't have to, like, stay with it intently or anything like that. And in theory, you're supposed to be doing that with WrestleMania, but at that length, you can't expect anybody to do it. And I don't know what it's like being there live for an event that's long. I mean, you know, you got to give the fans credit who can stay in there for that long and can respond, you know, at least enough to get by with. But at this point, if you made it 2 days, I'm not going to have any problem with that whatsoever. I don't know if they really want to do that, though, because it's all supposed to build a crescendo. But that's not the worst idea in the world, especially if you want to open yourself up. And this is going to drive hardcore wrestling fans crazy. But like, if you want to add a concert, if you want to add like things that day to that, you know, particular presentation of WrestleMania Day 1 and WrestleMania Day 2, and the closing concert's going to be this and going to be that, like, if you're open to doing that, I think that absolutely you could turn it into a two-day deal. But I'm going to take it back to the phones right now. John in Arkansas. John, what's up?
Well, Mike, I mean, I didn't hate the show, but there were aspects of the show that I just wasn't into. I thought the Charlotte thing, the John Cena deal, that could have been done after Charlotte's match. Charlotte and Asuka should have been in the spot where Nia Jax and Alexa were, because let's face it, the Charlotte Asuka match was better from a in-ring standpoint. Nia Jax and the whole Alexa thing was the happy social justice yay match for whatever that is.
What did you think of it?
I thought that the Nia Jax Alexa thing was a social justice match. It was
Why?
One of those things.
Why wasn't it like a classic bully match? Isn't that what was happening here? Like, why is it social justice?
It's one of those things, or not social justice, but, I forget what the term is, but, you know, the happy feel-good moment of, oh, look, you can be beautiful too, all that kind of thing. I think that's kind of sappy. That's not necessarily for me, but hey, I'm glad they did it. Good for them. As far as I'm concerned, most of the other aspects of the show were pretty decent. I think, you know, the Roman Reigns thing is what it is. I mean, they've hampered him more than I think the fans did in not liking him by the way they positioned him. They over-pushed him to such an extent that they got a revolt. And then with Brock Lesnar, they painted themselves into a corner, which they often do with a lot of their booking. And
well, John, we got a lot of people, so let me actually try to cut you off there. I don't think they painted themselves in a corner with Brock Lesnar at all. I don't know why you say that. I mean, they can still lose the title of Roman Reigns tonight. And Brock, I mean, you have options with Brock that are meaty. You know, they may not be exciting for everybody because he's not going to be at every show or anything like that. But just by winning last night, it was a intriguing thing. Does it help Roman? No. But, I mean, I don't know what's going to help Roman at this point anyway. People are not going to accept him in that title role. He'd be better off feuding with Seth or something over the U.S. title. Even though in that case, he'd be a heel there too. So I don't think Roman Reigns, you know, nothing is going to stop them from trying to push Roman Reigns. But I'm going to go back to the phone lines now just because we had a bunch of people on there. Carlos in Dallas, what's up?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going all right, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I know a lot of people are probably going to talk about the main event, but I actually want to talk about Nicholas. Nicholas being the tag team partner of Braun Strowman. I was watching WrestleMania last night with a casual fan, and he absolutely loved it. And I myself loved it too. You know, I thought, you know, yes, it wasn't a Samoa Joe, it wasn't a Dean Ambrose or an NXT call-up who was Braun Strowman's tag team partner who maybe could have used a rub, but, you know, just the sight gag of seeing, you know, this little kid's dream come true and tag teaming with Braun Strowman, I thought that was a really cool, genuine WrestleMania moment, and I loved it.
Carlos,
yeah, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks, Mike, for taking my call.
I really appreciate that. I mean, look, I'm same thing. I mean, it was what it was. And look, this is, he didn't want any partners. He wanted to say he could do it himself, and he did it himself. And again, it gives you the way to get out of this thing where, I mean, how much sense would it have made if Big Show would have come back and been his partner? Because, like, what, Braun destroyed him and put him out, and now he's got a newfound respect for him? How much would it sense would have made if Samoa Joe came back, a guy who's on his own and independent? If somebody would have came up like an Oney Lorcan, or I don't know who the hell it would have came up and been his partner, I mean, would he really have been helped out and got the rub? I mean, it would have been kind of weird to juxtapose him there. And now we're going to have a Braun team? I don't know if I like that. You know, Braun should be on his own, but... Take it back to the phone lines now, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Matthew's on the line. Matthew, what's going on?
What's going on, Mike?
How are you, sir? How's your post-WrestleMania Monday?
After a good night's sleep to cool off, I think I'll half agree with you. I think it was a good show, but it wasn't great. I put it maybe in my top 15 as far as WrestleMania. You know, like you said, the first half was good, but then it just kind of fell off a cliff near the end. Especially with the Brock-Roman match, not just because the fans were tuning out, but as far as, like, finishers fans concerned, this thing was, like, worse than WrestleMania 29 with Brock versus Cena. Like, it was, like, six F5s and five spears. I think the reason why they're giving Brock the title, and this has actually been a very immediate rumor, but I think they've given Brock the title because they're going to feed him to Bobby Lashley.
Matthew, I don't know where you went there, but yeah, look, that Bobby Lashley's been a name that has been rumored for tonight, you know, and one of those names that could possibly, you know, make an appearance. Actually, before we run out of time here for this segment, just because I know he's holding on the line here, we got Jason Agnew coming up to talk about his new show, Sunday Night's Main Event, which is going to feature Wrestling Observer Extra, which was a staple of the old Law broadcast with Dave Meltzer. But before we get to that, Chris in Scranton, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? I can't believe I cut in before Jason, because I used to listen to the Law back in like 1999. I was so sad when they took it off. Really quick, I guess my biggest thoughts about Mania was just that I remember that the biggest thing I couldn't stand was the Strowman thing, but after processing it for a day, I was like, oh, you know what? If they do a thing where, like, every week he teams up with a new child in the arena, like they find it, like, and he's Brawny, the guy who tags with children. Like, I think that'd be fun. And very quickly, I just want to quickly touch on what John from Arkansas was saying, because he was such a gigantic turd before.
But you know what? You can't do it, though. I'm going to make you be in anticipation for the next show when you call in to talk about what you think about him, because we've hit the point where we got to go to break. And Jason Agnew is going to be back with me on this show, Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Mr. Announcer Man got it half right. Mike Sempervivi here with you. Brian Alvarez not here with you. He is still in New Orleans, but thought, man, Mike, you've just been killing this show today. Just you out here. You need some help. I got some help. Our Canadian cousins, long time with the Law. Now Sunday night's main event, 1150 TSN up in Canada. Podcast available across the world, as well as being able to stream it online with the internet. Jason Agnew. Jason, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
So, hey, what, like... Tell us a little bit about this here, because, like, no joke, you are our Canadian cousins. You really are. I mean, I started listening back to The Law when Jeff Merrick was actually on, and I really was into it, as well as many of us who listen to this show, when you and John Pollock joined up with Jeff and then Dan Lavransky, and took over the show and took it all the way until this past October. But what exactly kind of took place there? Because it kind of ties in Anthem and TNA and everything. And tell us about, like, how you got to the point you are with the new venture.
Yeah, I mean, it really does tie in with Impact ruining everything. I think it was the slogan that came out around Monday, October 30th, 2017. You know, we were fresh off doing a show the Sunday night before, and then all of us got phone calls that just said, hey, you know what, we're going a different direction and not going to be using you on the Law brand, which was, I mean, Mike, just imagine getting that phone call tomorrow and all of a sudden you're not the guy on Wrestling Observer Live anymore. It was so shocking because I had literally been doing it for 18 years of my life. It was my first job as an intern that made its way into being the host, and I had hosted the show for 12, 15 years, something like that, with Lavransky on the other side. So it had to do with, you know, Anthem Media owning, purchasing Impact, and The Law had always been a show that never showed bias one way or the other. You know, we called it like we saw it, a lot like what you guys do, which is very much why you would refer to us as cousins. It's the same type of field, it's the same type of show. And when you have your owner owning a wrestling company, we never really felt pressure about not speaking our minds, but along with that, it seemed to be a ticking time bomb to me, and alarm bells definitely went off when they made that purchase. So that Monday happened, and all of a sudden it was, well, what do we do now? And, you know, John Pollock and Wei Ting went and started their own podcast portal, and they're still doing that. Mouth is actually doing a music blog called Dr. Mouth, and I pursued the world of radio because that's my background, that's what I want to do. And it just took me 5 months to get up and going, but I managed to do so last night with Sunday night's Main Event. Boy, did it feel good.
Look, I don't want you to lay match to bridge or anything like that, or if you've already done that, feel free to continue to torch away. But did those cats over there at Anthem really understand the legacy of that show? We had a caller earlier on that talked about listening to it in the late 90s. I mean, Trish Stratus, like in another dimension, was a host of that show. It goes back a long, long time. And for a lot of us who are radio fans and wrestling fans, it was always there every Sunday night. And our guy, Dave Meltzer, was always there with you every Sunday night talking about what was going on. Did they really understand what they had there, or did they understand it and then just look at it through the prism of wrestling media? Bah, we'll restart this the way we want when we're ready.
Yeah, I really don't think they did. And that was really shown after the show went off the air, and there were so many fans, an unbelievable amount of outpouring via social media about how much we meant to people. And not even just like that Sunday night staple where we get to, you know, complain about professional wrestling, but I had so many people write me and say, you know, this show got me through hard times. It's something that I could always depend on. Even when other things were bad in my life, I could kind of let my mind go for 2 hours and listen to you guys and have that bond. And I don't think that Anthem or Fight Network really understood what they had, because we really operated, the four of us, Dan, John, Wei, and myself, like an island. And we got to do what we wanted. It was nice to have, you know, a little bit of a paycheck from Fight Network turned into Anthem at the end of every week. And it's not like it was huge, but it was just there, and it was kind of left alone. For better or for worse, I mean, it was nice to have the freedom, Mike, but along with that, some support along the way would have been great. I really think with the marketing machine that they had there, they could have turned it into something even bigger than what it was. But I digress. You know, it is what it is. It's not going to change. And now I've moved on and am trying to continue on and have, you know, a new Sunday night routine just conveniently on a TSN affiliate and in the same time slot.
Yes, I like that very much. And, you know, TSN stations have always been pretty fruitful for yourself and you guys in general. But the show Sunday Night's Main Event, what's basically the concept behind it? You know, I had a chance to listen to it last night, but for those who didn't, what is the legacy as far as it relates to The Law? What is still around? What are you bringing in new? What's it about?
Well, first things first, I mean, for your listeners, Dave Meltzer has been gracious and has agreed to come back every Sunday night and join me. It's myself. We'll be the main host on the show. Last night, Dan Lavransky was our first guest on the show, of course, reuniting the two of us to do a little rundown of WrestleMania and get his thoughts. And I'm going to be doing, you know, the trivia segment, which I'm very much known for, as I am actually a game show host up here in Canada. And we'll be bringing back the Fantasy Booker segment that I did years ago, and probably a lot more speaking with other journalists about the world of professional wrestling and mixed martial arts as well. I want to look into a few new segments. So something old and something new to be brought to the table, but give it a bit of a new feel on Sunday nights, but familiar voices as well, Mike.
Well, you have a familiar voice, and your voice has sometimes possibly, maybe, has been reported to have a little bit of ire in it. And sometimes your dander can get built up, and you can be known as a angry Agnew. And there was a little of that on display last night. I did realize that once WrestleMania was over and I had the chance to check your show out, we may have differed a little bit when it came to what we thought of some of the more entertaining, or lack thereof, of the sports entertainment proceedings. What did you like and what did you hate coming out of this show last night?
Well, honestly, I love the Ronda Rousey stuff. I just, you know, I think the criticism of that match, and everyone has the same criticism, is that Stephanie McMahon blocking the armbar is ridiculous. But other than that, there's a lot of potential there with Ronda Rousey. The pairing was wonderful. Having two Olympic medalists paired together, that always made sense to me once The Rock wasn't available. And they really delivered last night. The length of the show, of course, is a problem to me. That's the first thing I'm going to complain about. I was tired pretty much right when the Shane McMahon match went out with Daniel Bryan. Right after that, I really did feel tired and was like, I've had enough at this point, and there's still so much to come. And what you were just touching on, the Braun Strowman segment, was just bonkers to me, because I can't see any justification that you have of this, because to me, I just saw Hillbilly Jim inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I don't need a new Hillbilly Jim on WWE TV, because last night, that's what Braun looked like to me.
Well, look, I don't think we're going to get that type of Braun Strowman. And I'm looking at it. The first thing I thought of was, they're not going to let this stand. And this was a way to get out of having Braun Strowman in the tag title situation, which, let's be honest, I mean, he was just put into that situation so they had something for him. It's kind of like Elias with John Cena. I mean, he was there in a position because they just needed to have something for him. So they decided to go ahead and go that route. I have a bigger problem. Not obviously, they did that thing last night with the John Cone, who's the referee's kid, who was the kid in the match, but the overall weird thing they've done with Braun Strowman, as far as like making him so wacky and giving him so much dialogue and stuff like that, I've had a problem with that in general. But last night doing it, if that was a little bit more isolated, I really wouldn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with it as it was, as long as they're getting out of it tonight.
Yeah, I just didn't like the fact that, you know, a few months back he's attempting vehicular homicide or being a victim of it, and then all of a sudden he is hanging out with a kid as a babysitter. It was just so different for me. Also, one thing that I took away from last night is I am not a big Nia Jax fan, but I really love the beginning of that match with Alexa Bliss. I thought her taking out Mickie James and then just destroying Alexa Bliss should have been the end of that match.
Yes.
And she should have just walked away with the belt. I didn't need to see any more, and I didn't need to see her show weakness. I thought a jobber match right there and just have her run over Alexa would have been a really nice touch and made her look great. And I think it lasted a little bit too long out there.
Hallelujah. And I'm a fan of Nia Jax, and I know people are, you're either for her or against her. And I think it was Jeff Hawkins of Voices of Wrestling that we were bantering about online, and he brought up, like, make it SD Jones and Bundy, where, like, and that's what I thought they should have did. And I thought it was a great idea. Splatter Mickie James out exactly like they did and have her get the ultimate revenge. And that quick sort of thing, I thought would have, again, it would have been better for the fans than to tell this long story that didn't need to be told with two people that, frankly, don't need to tell a long story.
Yeah, and along with that, you know, you look at the length of the event, there were just things last night that were unnecessary, and that could have sped things up. I really think that, you know, I have this saying that I believe the WWE puts out there, which is more is more. They are clearly valuing quantity over quality, and it's becoming a problem. And ultimately, you know, it was like a downhill ski slope last night. I was really, really into that event, and I walked in thinking, this is the potential to be the best WrestleMania of all time. And I thought it took a real slope towards the end there after that Shane and Daniel Bryan match. And unfortunately, you know, falling victim to that was AJ and Nakamura as well, who just didn't seem to gel like they have in the past.
No, and Nakamura, you know, the New Japan Nakamura is long gone, and I was willing to give him this, and I as far as him in ring, it's going to be a lot more smoke and mirrors, and I've got to accept that a lot more. But hopefully with this turn, which did get a good response last night, hopefully we can get some more fired into him. Now, hopefully it's not a stereotype situation or anything like that, but him being this wacky person that won't leave AJ Styles alone, I'll be all for that if that's the direction that they're going to go.
And going beyond that, I mean, those kicks were vicious to AJ Styles after the match last night. It was probably the best part of the match.
Yes, they were.
Came after it, right? It was just crazy.
Bounced his head like a basketball. It was great.
He did, yeah. And then looking beyond that, though, Mike, providing Nakamura stays on the SmackDown brand, and if Daniel Bryan is still there, well, there's some dream matches to come with Daniel Bryan and the heel Nakamura.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's a ton you could do right there. Jason, you know, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, obviously, is going to be the big looming thing over tonight. What did you think about the main event? Are you as that seemed to be very polarizing? I mean, obviously, the crowd with the beach balls and the CM Punk chants and the this is awful chants. I mean, with what they did, the blood at the end, I mean, did they save the thing? Because I thought they did the best that they could, but it is what it is. And I think Brock Lesnar, I can see him losing the title tonight. But what do you think the direction that they're going to go with this is?
Well, first of all, the match last night, I think part of it, they just fell victim to time as well. I mean, the storyline of Roman Reigns being forced down our throats, that's unfortunate. There was that. There was Brock Lesnar leaving. And then there's the fact that it's 7 hours and the fans are still sitting there. So there's a lot of things working against that main event last night. They did what they could. I was checked out, though. As of tonight, I'm honestly interested to see if Bobby Lashley finds himself in this mix somewhere. I think that if he's pushed properly, he could come in and be a new monster if he does find himself to the top of the card. And where does Samoa Joe fit in as well? I think you need to inject some new blood here and maybe not just be pushing Roman Reigns down our throats. But honestly, that's probably not going to happen. And we all know that, don't we?
I know it. Jason Agnew, we're pushed up against break right now, but look, just give me a yes or no. Are you upset that Braun was not able to find Minoru Suzuki to be his partner last night?
I loved when he walked by No Way Jose myself, yes. Actually. That was, fun for me.
Jose's probably getting yelled at right now for turning around, for God's sakes. But hey, we're going to keep this thing going. We get back. Wrestling Observer Live.
Listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Producer Dom, big beat pumping, bass and back. Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervivi here with you. Don't worry, everybody. Brian Alvarez will be back tomorrow on this show. If you're a subscriber to the website, he'll be back tonight with Dave Meltzer. And if you like Dave Meltzer on Sunday nights, you are really going to like Jason Agnew's show. Jason, we got a couple more minutes here. And really, tell us how you can listen to the show. Obviously, if you're up in Canada, up in the Hamilton area, over the dial at TSN 1150. But let's be honest, nobody listens to radio like that anymore, do they?
Yeah, it's in the home of Billy Red Lions, and that's probably the last time people listened over the air. But TSN1150.ca is where you can pick it up live. Along with that, I got the website set up already. It's SundayNightsMainEvent.com and all the social medias at SNME Radio. So I'm tweeting out all the links. Last night's is already up there, and we're going every week Sunday nights 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Familiar.
Ah, yes, it is. And let me tell you something. Producer Dom was in my ear a little bit earlier on. He was so happy to have a professional in here today to try to lead me along in that last segment. So I'd like to thank you very much. And the check will be in the mail from the fine people at Sports Byline. Although, to be honest with you, I believe that they're officially licensed by the NBA, so I'd be careful about cashing it.
Oh, okay, Mike. Thanks very much. Listen, thanks for having me on, and I'd love to do the same for you, to have you on the show to do a panel with me.
Hey, absolutely. Anytime, everybody. And then Jason Agnew, like he said, you know, TSN 1150, the spirit of the law lives through post-wrestling, and it lives through Sunday night's main event, TSN 1150 up in Canada. Dave Meltzer is going to be on there. And if you like Dave, of course, he's going to be back with Brian Alvarez tonight. For all the subscribers over there at WrestlingObserver.com, I want to thank producer Dom. I want to thank all of you for listening. And I want to thank producer Scott over the last couple days as well. Josh Nason, who has filled in a couple days while Brian's been gone as well, too. WrestleMania weekend. I'm fighting it. It ain't over yet. We got Monday. We got SmackDown on Tuesday. Keep this thing going tomorrow. See you, everybody. Good night.